Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests." And we are beginning a new message series starting today called The Place of Prayer. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at seven different passages with different situations from the Bible. Solomon dedicating the temple. Hagar in the desert. The criminal on the cross who was crucified beside Jesus. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jonah in the belly of the fish. Mary praising God. And believers in the early church facing opposition. And we're going to ask the question, what can we learn about prayer from these specific passages? And as we do this, I invite us to a deeper, more probing question. What place does prayer have in our lives, in my life? What priority does prayer have? What practice? Let us come to the place of prayer. Let us come in the name of Jesus to engage the heart of God and allow God to transform our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for prayer. We thank you for its endless opportunity without ceasing, any time, any place. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of coming into your presence, for the joy of prayer, for the power of prayer. Lord, show your power. You speak. You are present. You listen. You engage our hearts. May we engage yours through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be reading 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 12 to 42. And if you're able, I do invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Second Chronicles 6, verses 12 to 42. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. Now he had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had placed it in the center of the outer court. He stood on the platform and then knelt down before the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. He said, "Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, you who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me according to my law, as you have done.' And now, Lord, the God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David come true. But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built. Yet, Lord, my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When anyone wrongs their neighbor and is required to take an oath, and they come and swear the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on their heads what they have done, and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to them and their ancestors. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel, being aware of their afflictions and pains and spreading out their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you all the time they live in the land you gave our ancestors. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. When your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy who takes them captive to a land far away or near, and if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their captivity, and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong and acted wickedly, and if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity where they were taken, and pray toward the land you gave their ancestors, toward the city you have chosen, and toward the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their pleas, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place. You and the ark of your might, may your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, don't worry. The message might actually be shorter than the scripture reading. Sometimes it's nice just to hear a long portion of scripture read together. I actually love doing that. We had a little outdoor service, Saturday night service, last night, and We don't know if it was the wind of the spirit or something else, but some tents blew over in our time, so must have been the powerful reading of the word that caused that. So just like the title of this series, The Place of Prayer, my title today also has a bit of a double meaning, and that title is Prayer Points, or Prayer Points to the Presence of God, Lessons from Solomon. And the split meaning here is that these are points about prayer that we can use to pray, but also how prayer indeed points us to and positions us to the presence of God. So we're going to look at 5 points of Solomon's prayer, and then how those point us to God's presence. And I have 5 P's as my points, but really I have 11, as we'll see. But if you did not receive a handout, an outline, go ahead, put up your hand, and Dave would love to come to you, a couple here, so that you can follow along. Also, so that you can keep this in your Bible and use it as a prayer tool. So feel free to keep your hand up, and they will come around to you. So point number one, and this point has 3 P's in it, but I'm only counting it as one. Lesson number one that we learn from Solomon's prayer here is that he took a planned and public posture in his prayer. It says in verses 12 and 13 that Solomon stood before the altar amidst the whole assembly and spread out his hands. And then secondly, that he knelt down and spread out his hands toward heaven. So the way that we present and posture our bodies in planned and public gatherings for worship and prayer matters. I understand that you can and you should worship God anywhere, at any time, in any way, but there is something sacred about having a time and a space set aside where we are more free from distractions and where we intentionally posture ourselves and our hearts toward God. Solomon stood before the altar, it says, in worship, in a planned gathering among the public assembly of God's people. And there's something powerful about humbly positioning ourselves and maybe publicly even kneeling down before the Lord with our hands spread out to heaven. God has given us bodies, and we are embodied people in our worship, and how we use them matters, and is a way to express outwardly what we are feeling inwardly, or even is a way for our outward bodies to kind of preach to our inward soul what we hopefully should be feeling towards God. I mean, think about some of the words that we just sung. You could sing it one of two ways. You could say, I come desperate to be rescued. Sip a coffee. I come empty to be filled. Right? Versus, I come desperate to be rescued. Lord, I'm empty. I come empty to be filled. Right? We're not just intellect only people who live in our heads. We need to feel things in our bones and in our bodies for them to really take root and to stick. I firmly believe that. And it's why God calls us, for example, to baptism, right? We can't just say we believe in Jesus. We must publicly proclaim it in an embodied way that makes it real and stick. So sign up for baptism if you haven't. But I'm never ashamed or embarrassed to say that, you know, I worship better, just meaning more intensely and intently when I'm with the gathered people of God. And it's not because I'm a hypocrite who only worships when I'm in front of people, but because I just get more encouraged and bold and really enter in fully with my entire being when I'm with the family of God, people who are seeking the same things that I am. I mean, I need that. I'm really too weak to really worship and pray well on my own. I need others. So sometimes I need my prayer and my praise to be planned for me and public. That's how God designed it. But it's not just Solomon's posture, but also actually what he says. So let's look at his praise. In verses 14, 15, and 18, Solomon praises that there is no God like you, and that this temple he has built is nothing compared to a God that even the heavens cannot contain. So Solomon gets in this posture that leads him to praise. And in that praise, he realizes how big God is, and that even though he's in a place of worship, that place cannot possibly contain the majesty of God. So as important as place is, part of the point of gathering in a worship space is paradoxically to remember that the Lord cannot be contained to a space. God is too great and too vast for that. And after giving praise, Solomon then proclaims God's promises. We can add a few extra P's if we want to bring perspective to our problems. As a part of his praise, in verses 16 and 17, he reminds God of God's promises and requests for God to keep those promises, saying in verse 17, "Let your word that you promised come true." Proclaiming the promises of God together in prayer from the word of God is one of the most powerful ways to pray. Because when we do that, we are reminding ourselves that God is a God who is for us, whose disposition toward us is goodness and grace. And doing this puts all we're doing in life in perspective and reminds us to entrust ourselves into God's care and promises, his future plans for us, and particularly, of course, the day when he will come again and make all things right, and that a life lived faithful to Jesus will one day all be worth it. I need reminded of that every single week, really, day. In the words of a message from a few weeks ago that I did, we remember that we are living for the eternal line, not just this temporary dot. As we look to God in prayer, it puts our circumstances and problems into perspective so that this earthly dot doesn't become bigger than it should be or consume us and keep us from living for that line of eternity. As we focus on God's perspective and promises through his word, we can see our problems more clearly in light of God's plans. So to summarize what we've seen so far, in a planned and public gathering, Solomon gets in the right posture before God. He comes in praise. He claims God's eternal promises, which puts his temporary problems sort of in perspective. And only then does he go on to make his petitions before God. I think there's really good insight here in the pattern of Solomon's prayer, that often we just come to God right away with our requests. And that's certainly okay and definitely better than nothing. But we're in a better place when we first quiet our hearts, when we get in the right posture and place, starting with God's praise and God's promises first before we then bring our needs. So let's do that now as the music team returns. In a planned and public moment right now, let's bring our praise before God and claim God's promises in a way that puts our problems in perspective. And maybe you've never been the type of person to express your praise through your posture, and maybe just want to kind of try that this morning, because it is a biblical way to worship as instructed in the Bible. Maybe you just want to begin to proclaim God's promises over your life or over others' lives or just over our community as we sing. Even as we were outside last night, we could visualize as we proclaimed the truth of this song, proclaiming it over the Mid-Island region. But whatever the case, let's sing as a way to praise and claim God's promises before we then finish the message. So let's follow here the pattern of Solomon and do this before we bring our petitions. So go ahead and stand, and we will proclaim the truth of God's word together. Amen. Good to proclaim God's praise and truth in the gathered assembly. You may be seated. So following along Solomon's pattern here, now point number four, now Solomon finally presents his petitions. And I won't read all the text here, it's been read, and we're going to pray it in a moment. But there's a great prayer outline of points here in Solomon's prayer that you can both use. That's why we've given you an old school handout today. And study more after today. But he prays for at least six things: repentance and forgiveness for him and all the people, justice, protection, provision, unbelievers, and victory over obstacles. And then Solomon closes his prayer and also this public service in a beautiful way by our last prayer point from Solomon, proclaiming scripture in his prayers. Solomon recites here in verses 41 and 42, Psalm 132. There's a reason that we normally close a service with a benediction or a blessing from the Word of God, which is often just straight up reading scripture like we did at the end of last week's service, because it's giving God the final words before we go out into the world to do God's will. And if you're ever struggling with how to pray, just start by praying the scriptures. You can just pray the Psalms. The Psalms are just prayers. So these five prayer points, what is their end result? Oh, I love this. That the end result of this prayer in chapter 6 is that in chapter 7, the glory of the Lord then fills the temple. And eventually God confirms that he has heard Solomon's prayer in chapter 7, verse 12. And promises to do what was asked by saying these famous words in chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So we're going to close by briefly responding and putting some of this into practice now through song and prayer. So we're going to pray this scripture passage together with some slight adaptations using this outline of petitions, and we'll highlight each one as we go on the screen. And then we'll all respond after each prayer with a plea for God to hear our prayer, and you'll catch on to the response chorus that we'll sing together. But I'll begin by praying verses 19 and 20. So if you could stand if you're able as a form of just our posture before God, this is going to be our response here, praying through 2 Chronicles chapter 6. So praying from verses 19 and 20. Lord our God, give attention to our prayers and pleas for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that we are praying in your presence. May your eyes be open toward this place day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name, and may you hear the prayers your servants pray. Come and listen, we cry.
Pray out of this passage, let's pray for repentance and forgiveness. Lord, hear our prayers when we pray. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When we sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, give us a change of heart, and may we turn back to you with all of our heart and all of our soul. Then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear our prayer and please forgive your people who have sinned against you. Amen.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. When we call, answer our plea. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord,
for justice out of verses 22 to 23. When people wrong others, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between them, condemning the guilty and bringing down on their heads what they have done, and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence.
For protection out of verses 24 to 25. When we allow the enemy ground in our lives because of our sin, cause us to turn back and give praise to your name, praying before you, and please hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people and bring us back into your safety and promises and protect us from further evil and the evil one.
Provision out of verses 26 to 30. When the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because of our sin, when famine and plague come, when disasters and disease come, may we still praise your name and turn from our sins. And may you hear from heaven, forgive us, and teach us the right way to live so that we might walk in your ways, for you know our hearts. Send your rain of provision upon our land.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for unbelievers out of verses 32 and 33. As for those who do not yet belong to your people, but hear of your great name and goodness to your people, would you draw them from their distance to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and belong to your church that bears your name.
Pray for victory of obstacles out of verses 34 and 35. As a church, when we engage battles and temptations of the flesh, may we pray to you, and may you hear from heaven our prayer and pleas, and uphold our cause for your great name. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you are a God who listens, who answers, who speaks, and takes action. We bow humbly before you. In Jesus' name.
We call.